This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Call his wife in.
4:04 on this Monday morning. How are we doing? How was your weekend? Hope it was good. It was good for the two baseball teams as the Mets sweep away the Blue Jays. Offensively still struggling, but just enough. And the pitching has been unbelievable. The bullpen, even the rotation, hasn't gotten deep into games, and you've been relying probably a little bit too heavily on the bullpen, but best ERA, best team ERA in all of baseball belongs to the New York Mets. Still struggling offensively, as I said. Still have the issues of Beatty, which is unfortunately going to come to an end sooner rather than later, as he was given an opportunity and he continues to struggle with it. Vientos and his issues, both defensively and offensively, has not been a good start to the year for Vientos. A couple of hits over these three games, but still an issue for him, as well as even the great Juan Soto. And this is in no way trolling. I'm just telling the facts. He's gotten off to a, you know, reasonably okay start. He's getting on base. But he hasn't been all that impactful to the offense as the Mets continue to really not score runs. But their pitching, their few clutch hits from Winker on Saturday, Pete Alonso in a couple of different spots in the early start of the year, has been just enough. The bullpen's been excellent. And the Mets are 6-3 after sweeping away the Blue Jays, and are right where they should be. The New York Yankees 6-3 as well after winning a series over the weekend in Pittsburgh. Unable, after rallying back from three runs down in the ninth with two outs, the never-say-die New York Yankees died in the 11th as Devin Williams, the much-maligned Yankees new closer, who I can already sense Yankee fans are having a real issue with three outings in, you crazies, gives up a fly ball, or what would have been a fly ball under normal circumstances, in extra innings. The Yankees fall short after having miserable bats in the 10th and the 11th, but their offense, and that's really where we started today, the Mets and their offense struggling, and that's really supposed to be the strength of the team. The question marks of this team, the pitching, have been a huge positive, and the question marks of the Yankees, the youth, the back end of the lineup, the overall power of the lineup has been what's driving them. So both of these teams expected heading into the season, I know the Yankees have dealt with injuries that changed expectations, but heading into the season, the Yankees starting rotation and the Yankees back end of the bullpen is going to drive them, and hopefully the offense can give you enough. Well, the rotation hasn't been very good at all. The bullpen outside of Weaver hasn't been all that good. It's been the lineup that leads the league and all of Major League Baseball in pretty much every category has been thriving and carrying them to a 6-3 record. And the Mets, where you felt this offense with Juan Soto and Lindor and Vientos and Pete Alonso and everybody else was going to carry them, and early on, offensively, haven't done squat, but the pitching's been so damn good that they find themselves 6-3. So to me, it's positives for both ends because the question marks have been answered in the affirmative and gotten really good answers from them. And the thing you expect to carry the team, specifically with the Mets, you expect this offense to carry them, hasn't been there, and yet the winning persists. So a good start, good first weekend of baseball for both teams. The Yankees, unfortunately, will be in frosty Detroit. And the schedules, obviously, will all change as they play at 3 o'clock today and then 1 o'clock over the next couple days as they've been changed from night games to day games after what is going to be a frigid Detroit. And the highs are going to be in the low 30s, apparently. So we'll see how the Yankees, who will be facing some good pitching as well, this offense that's been averaging 9 runs a game and the bottom of the lineup and the youth have been so good for this team. They're going to face Mize. They're going to face Skubal. They're going to face Flaherty this weekend. You got Rodon versus Mize later today. The Mets will welcome in the Miami Marlins again as Kodai Senga will take the mound for the Mets, and hopefully they can beat up the Marlins and continue their winning ways. Then we obviously talked about the Knicks as they put together the first time in 30 years consecutive 50-win seasons as we saw the captain Jalen Brunson come back, play 30-plus minutes, look pretty good. Not a great game for him. 6 assists, passed the ball, didn't try to do too much. The Knicks took down the Phoenix Suns, and it's just a matter of whether or not this Knick team and OG Anunoby in particular, who's offensively just been a force over the last 2 or 3 weeks, even maybe even more than that. I mean, he's been averaging 25 points a game. He's been a force, 30 points last night. He's getting to the basket. He's looking for his own shot. He's hitting threes at a higher percentage, plus his defensive game has been as good as any in the NBA. So right now, OG Anunoby's playing like an all-star. He's really stepped it up while Brunson was down, and now with Brunson back, hopefully he can continue that. Karl Anthony Towns should be healthy. McBride is back and healthy. And hopefully this Knick team, after winning 50 games, ho-hum, right? Can you ever thought you'd get to a place where you'd be ho-hum with the Knicks being the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, winning 50 games and, you know, everyone just concerned with the idea that they can't beat the Celtics in the second round. But we'll see. As we got another 4 games for Jalen Brunson to really find himself before the playoffs start in a couple of Saturdays. So that's where we are today with most of our stuff. 888-808-1019. I haven't talked about Ovechkin yet, who obviously Ovechkin breaks the record as he takes down the great Wayne Gretzky and is now the greatest scorer in the history of the NHL with 895 goals for his career. He did it in the same number of games that Wayne Gretzky played. And of course he did it at UBS Arena on Long Island out in my neck of the woods in Uniondale. And obviously a rousing achievement. Now look, I'm not trying to get on Ovechkin. He's an incredible player. I mean, he just scored the most goals in the history. I do just need to point out, because I feel like it's necessary, because Wayne Gretzky is such an unbelievable talent and was kind of more of a playmaker than he was even a goal scorer, if you can believe that. I'm not, you know, Wayne Gretzky has 1,963 assists. Ovechkin's only 1,200 behind him. That's how amazing. And, you know, whenever you break a record, there should be some light shined on the person who's being passed. I think that's fair. Ovechkin, obviously an incredible career, Stanley Cup champion, and he's doing it on a year where he's not just hanging around. Like, he's not just hanging around at 39, you know, scoring a handful of goals. That's his 42nd goal of the year, and he's missed 16 games. He's having an unbelievable year, and so are the Caps, as they look to do damage and maybe win a second cup for Ovechkin. But Wayne Gretzky, again, now that he has one more goal, Wayne Gretzky has 1,200-plus more assists. That's crazy. I mean, it's bonkers when you think about it. Like, right now, he has more assists. Think of this. He has more assists than Ovechkin has points. He has more assists than Ovechkin has goals and points together. Goals and assists together. And he's got more goals. He's got one more goal, and yet still less points overall than just assists. And here's the other thing, too. And I know Sal was, I haven't talked to Sal about it. I got to text him. But Sal was getting on me for having a counter opinion of him and feeling like I was going after him. Well, let me agree with him because I was thinking this and I heard Sal on SNY. And let me say this. I never liked the idea of a real celebration by the fan base where the record was broken against them. Like, it feels like, oh, what a great moment. It's on Long Island. It's so great. It's against the Islanders. Oh, let's take pictures. Oh, it's so wonderful. I was in the building. And I get that. You're in the building. I get it. You're in the building. Fine. But, like, the enthusiasm from Islander fans whose season is, you know, teetering on no longer being relevant. I mean, it was the best moment in the building. It's history. Like, who the hell cares? Like, if you're an Islander fan, I know when you're there, it happens. It's great. It's one hell of a record. It's one that nobody thought would be broken. But I don't know why any Islander fan would have, like, this excitement at the idea it happened. Like, because I know Boomer was talking about, Boomer was, like, dreading the idea that it could happen against the Rangers, especially on Madison Square Garden ice. But yet it feels like there's, like, this celebration and we're all happy it happened in New York. Why? I never understood that. Like, even like if I'm in a ballpark and the Yankees are being, you know, a perfect game is being thrown, I don't want history against me. And I know that's different, winning the game, losing the game. It was a power play goal. Caps took down the Islanders, but I mean, an incredible achievement from an incredible player. He's been around forever. Rangers and the Caps have battled so many times in the playoffs. I've seen so many Cap playoff games in person. I mean, we all know how great Ovechkin is. He's obviously the greatest goal scorer in NHL history. But he's still 1,200 assists behind Gretzky. And I'm not sure why any Islander fan would be real pumped to have it be in their building against them. It feels like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Give me a call and tell me you're an Islanders fan and you don't give a damn. And I'm misreading the situation because I'm too focused on social media. And that's a small portion of you, and I get that. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here as we still got an hour until the warm-up show at 5. Let's go to Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. How's everything?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. I'm calling about the Mets, but one thing about Gretzky. I met him at a book signing in Manhattan, and what a really nice guy. And he's the best hockey player ever.
Oh, it's really not close. It's really not.
Just a really nice guy, and you know, really, really friendly. And you know, he signed that book that he wrote some years ago. And just, you know, it's nice. Ovechkin's a nice accomplishment, but as you said, look at the assists. That's
well, I mean, it's just I don't want to. It's really not cool. All right, we should be honoring Ovechkin. It's an incredible achievement. I'm not trying to diminish it. It might sound like that. I just feel like you do have to point out how incredible Wayne Gretzky was. Like, you are passing him. It's reasonable to bring up Wayne Gretzky. It shouldn't be the first and foremost. The first and foremost is Ovechkin is now the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL. It's an incredible achievement. It speaks to the ability to stay healthy in a sport where it's very difficult to stay healthy. It speaks to the ability to have this long career. He's 39 years old. He's scoring 42 goals in a season where he's 39 and he missed 16 games. Like, he's still doing it at an extremely high level. He's not hanging on to chase this record. You know, he's still one of the better players in the game. And it's an incredible, incredible achievement. But you do have to just take a step back and go, man, how amazing was Wayne Gretzky that, I mean, someone could surpass him in goals, play 20 years, and still Gretzky has more assists than Ovechkin has points. That's crazy.
That's why they call him the great one.
He is the great
about
one.
About the Mets, look, they keep giving Beatty a chance, but he never delivers in the regular season. I mean, they should have traded him off the spring training when his value was high and gotten something for him. He's doing nothing now. I think they made a big mistake in letting Iglesias go. Because Iglesias is a career 280 hitter. He had 337 for the Mets last year. And, I mean, even more than his stats, he brings that energy and whatever to the clubhouse that the Mets had last year. And look at the Padres. They're doing really well. So I think that was a slap in the face to Iglesias. You know, they should have just signed him. And look, he could cover third base. If Vientos is struggling, he could cover third. You know, now Beatty's like a, I mean, he's not. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah, no, he's been really bad. And I was a proponent for him. And by the way, I think I misspoke. I think I said the Washington took down the Islanders 4-1. Obviously, the Islanders won 4-1. That was my mistake. Yeah, Beatty's been bad. I've been a proponent for giving him a run at second base this year with the McNeil injury. I wanted to see. I think yeah. And you know, I heard Evan talking about this, and I feel the same way. You wanted to find out about him. Like, he's in camp every year. He's a prospect team. He's raking in spring training. He rakes the second. I have no doubt. The second they send him down, like, while he's on the plane, we will get news of him hitting a two-run home run in his first at-bat in spring training. In minor leagues, rather. Like, the guy is a unbelievable minor league hitter. He is the definition, as of the moment, of a quadruple-A player. Like, he dominates minor league pitching. And I thought he deserved the run. I thought this team was built on the idea of rewarding players who deserve it. And as much as Acuña played well last year, filling in for Lindor in the injury, I just felt like, as a left-handed hitter, someone with real power and, you know, a really good bat and the minimal amount of actual minor league at-bats from Acuña, I just felt like it was an opportunity. If McNeil was gone for the year and you were looking for a replacement second baseman and you believed in Acuña, I would have been more apt to that, right? Because he's going to be better defensively. He does almost everything better than hit, and he's even doing that better with how Beatty's going. But like, if it was like all year and you were looking for a second baseman, I'd be like, you know what? I don't know if Beatty profiles as a second baseman for his career. Acuña can. He was great last year. He plays better defensively, so at least you're sound there for the whole season. All right, Acuña's the guy. But just for a month, because McNeil's coming back, I really did want to see if Beatty, if given every day for a month, what he could do. And if, especially coming off spring training, feeling good about himself, if he could transition a hot spring into a hot start of the year. And he's been awful. And, you know, yesterday, runner on third, striking out on a high fastball. He's late on fast. You know, he's behind on fastballs. He's ahead on breaking balls. He's doing everything that you typically see from a hitter in between and in betwixt. And that's what he is right now. And that's what he's been pretty much every day of his career as a major leaguer. And it's frustrating, it's disappointing, and we're getting to the point where I can't tell you that he should be playing over anybody. And especially Acuña, who's given you better at-bats, who's better defensively, and who can give you some speed on the bases, some athlete, give you different things. Like, it's hard for me to continue to push this Beatty thing. I've been trying, but he's been bad. And as far as Iglesias, I understand their thought process. You have Acuña. You have some other guys coming up through the minors, right? You feel like you're pretty solidified on the infield. He's a great utility infielder, and I thought it made sense. But they want to establish their young players. Like, it makes sense. I would have been fine with signing him. I'm fine with not signing him. I haven't checked his numbers in San Diego. I saw him make a brilliant defensive play on a highlight, but he's a good, solid player. There's no doubt. I thought the Yankees could have used him. The Yankees would be far better right now if Jose Iglesias was playing third base as opposed to Peraza against left-handed pitching. The Yankees could have got him. So, and then there's also the idea of continuing the OMG stuff. Years have to be different. He was such a dynamic part of all the gimmick that you don't want to try and force redoing it. And then you're going to still hear OMG in the building. Not that that's the reason why you'd make baseball decisions, but I do think it's part of it. I do think it's part of it. But, you know, right now we're getting to the point where, yeah, Beatty's not going to get play anymore, and he's going to be sent down to the minors and maybe even just given up on and moved and traded. Because if you're going to send them back down, what's the point? Like, honestly, what's the point? There's nothing else he can do. Every time you send him down, he rakes in spring. He rakes in the minor leagues. You bring him back up, he stinks. Spring training against major league pitching. Yeah, working on things. It's clearly not regular season pitching because he can't hit it. But he hits in spring. He hits in the minor leagues. He's hit everywhere consistently other than Major League Baseball. So other than regular season Major League Baseball. So I don't know if you send him back down. I don't know if you ever bring him back up. I feel like this was the last chance Beatty had to prove himself as a Met, and he's failing. Omar in North Bergen. What's up, Omar?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
What's
Big
up,
fan. Bro? Listen to you every morning, man.
I wanted to see
what you thought about switching Grisham to center field, sliding Belly over to left, making Dominguez our new DH, and Rice could be the backup catcher. So when Wells gets benched, well, day off, we don't lose that bat in the lineup. What do you think?
I don't want to DH Dominguez. I want to keep him in left field. You could do it now, but I need him getting reps in left field because we're assuming, I don't know for sure, but we're assuming that Stanton's coming back and he'll take the DH role. And then what do you do with Dominguez if he hasn't played left field in a month? Like, I want him, I expect him to be an outfielder. I think he can play the position. We've seen him play now a couple of games. I don't think he's hurt them defensively. And I look at Dominguez as the future, part of the future of the Yankees. And there's no reason to jeopardize that or change that right now. You could figure out ways to manipulate Grisham, give him days off with the open DH right now, with a 37-year-old first baseman, with Judge needing DH days. There's plenty of ways to get him at bats without making him the starting everyday center fielder. I don't want to do that. And then the other thing with Ben Rice as your backup catcher, I don't think you can... I don't know. Look, I don't know how they feel about him catching wise. He's continued to do it. He caught during spring. I guess they're still. I read an article that they're still working on him with catching. Like, he's still going through catching drills, and it's not like he's not picked up a catcher's mitt or put on the gear in a while. He's doing it every day, apparently. But I don't know. I think you'd rather have Ascara, a really good defensive catcher, as your backup. You'll find ways for Ben Rice, right? He'll DH first base, same thing. I don't want him to be the backup catcher. He's an emergency catcher, which I think is valuable, especially, you know, on days where you play Ascara, where you might want to pinch hit Wells. And then if you pinch hit Wells, maybe you want to pinch run for Wells, and you obviously can't take out your catcher, but it gives you an option if Ben Rice is there as an emergency catcher. But I don't want to make him the backup who plays catcher once or twice a week. I do not want to do that. I don't. I'll find him at bats. Rich in Manorville. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how are you, C-Mac?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm an Islander fan. Just wanted the one thing you said right away I was going to correct you on, but you caught it yourself, Obviously the Islanders won yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I said they took down the Islanders. I misspoke. I know the Islanders won 4-1.
Right. The other thing was is that you started off by saying that, it happened out on Long Island, Uniondale. The Islanders haven't been in Uniondale for quite a few years.
I know. I'm so used. That's Steve Summers talking through, and I lived in Franklin Square and Elmont and Hempstead Turnpike. I know that's a couple of mistakes there. And it happens at 4:00.
No, I understand. I understand. And listen, as an Islander fan, I knew obviously that the way this year has gone, that this thing was going to happen, and to take nothing away from Ovechkin, it's an incredible record, but. No, I didn't want it to happen against the Islanders. And, not that I was, stomping my feet about it, but, I don't know if you realize that he hadn't scored against Sorokin in his career.
Really? I did not see that. That's the first goal ever against Sorokin?
Right, but he's only played against him in 3 games.
Okay.
So
I saw the aftermath, and they took the picture. And again, as the goalie, I don't know if I want to be celebrating it, but it's part of it, I guess. It's one goal against the greatest goal scorer of all time. It's not like an insult, but
right. And now his name is in the history books right alongside him. So that's, that's unfortunate. But
it's Ralph Branca.
Exactly,
he's Ralph Branca.
And it was nice, at least, that Sorokin said. Ovechkin said in his little speech that. He thanked Sorokin for letting him score on him.
Yeah. Well, listen, for the first time ever, and it was an incredible shot. He's having a great year. I am shocked at the year Ovechkin's having at 39 years old. I mean, if he doesn't miss 16 games, I mean, you're talking about one of the better scoring years of his career. Like, he's at 42 now. I mean, early on in his career, he scored 65 in 2007-2008. But still, like, say he, at the pace he's on, 40 goals in 60 games, if he would have, you could add another close to 10 goals. He could be at 50 right now. I mean, and over the last You know, he's only scored 52 or three times in the last, 10 years. I mean, it's one of last year he scored 31. And he played 79 games. The year before that, 42. Like, this is one of the better years he's had in the last three or four. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, bud?
Two points. One about the Mets and Yankees, and one about Ovechkin. can you find a take where I called you in March and said that Max Kranich and Trent Grissom were going to be MVPs of the Mets and Yankees?
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to get it for you right now. Ryan, can you pull up that audio? We've been holding on to Tommy in Astoria. Hold on. Just give me a minute, Tommy.
And the other thing, I don't know if you heard Gretzky's speech, but it was really classy, very humble.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt that we need more of that in sports. We don't have that. A little civility, a little class.
That's funny, Tommy, because I think and thank you for the call, bud. Kranich's been great. Kranich, Stanek, all the other Anix have been incredible. Reed Garrett, Budo, Brazoban, like everyone in the bullpen. The entire Met bullpen has been excellent. And Stanek, in particular, has come through in a couple of key situations in the Houston series against Alvarez. Like, he's done an incredible job. But your point about civility in sports, I feel 99% of sporting fans, especially here and WFN callers and fans, I feel like it's the complete opposite. Everybody's furious that teams are buddy-buddy. Everyone's upset that there's not a dynamic. We were just yelling about the Knicks not having Carl Anthony Towns' back by still shaking his hand. Draymond Green. I mean, we were killing the Knicks. You got to have your teammates back. He's saying things about him in his podcast. Why are we shaking hands? Like, why are we exchanging jerseys in the middle of the field? Why are we, I think most people can't stand how civil sports has become. And how really, a union and free agency and all, has really changed the dynamic of sports. So I'm surprised to hear that. Not that you're wrong or that Wayne Gretzky's classiness wasn't excellent and well-deserved and, a nice moment and was touching and whatever else you might feel about it. But the idea we're lacking that, I'm surprised you feel that way. And I'm not saying you're wrong or right. I'm just saying most people feel the opposite. Most people feel we have lost that rivalry. We have lost that bitterness for the enemy. We have lost that hatred for the other team. We have lost that dynamic. Everyone's buddy-buddy. Everyone's friends. Everyone's shaking hands after the game. Everybody's exchanging jerseys on the football field. Everything's great. Everything's hunky-dory. Everyone's great. Everyone's wonderful. I think that's how most fans feel now.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of 5-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision, overthinking,
second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, a little bit of hockey talk on The Fan. As you just heard in the call there, what a great call by Howie. And the Rangers won't be heading to the Stanley Cup Finals this year, as they are now, after that 4-0 loss to the Devils, as the Devils won the season series. The New York Rangers are now 6 points behind the Canadiens for the final wild card spot. They do have a game in hand, but they have 6 games left. Canadiens have 5. They're 6 points behind. Montreal has won 5 games in a row. Another lackluster effort from the New York Rangers against the Devils, who, even without Jack Hughes, have been playing pretty good hockey. They've won 3 in a row, including beating the New York Rangers. And it's over. And this is the team, the effort that they give. The final year of Sam Rosen. Just unbelievable. What an ugly, hideous season from really start to finish. And you would think the coach has got to go. You would think you really have to question if Drury is going to change the core of this team. I almost feel like he has to. The disappointment of Lafreniere this year. Just an ugly, ugly season for the New York Rangers. The Islanders are in the same boat. And Ovechkin is now the all-time leading scorer in NHL history. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the call. Sal in Westchester. What's up, Sal?
Hey, C-Mac, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good, how are you?
C-Mac, I got a quick hockey thing for you, and if I could touch on something with baseball, I'd love to do that afterwards. But with the hockey, I'm just curious what you think about how many of these goals Ovechkin scored versus Gretzky has to do with them deleting the red line in the play of hockey. And then if I could jump to baseball, and then you can hang up, I'll listen to you. The judge argument with the playoffs, I agree with all you guys. He's got to do better.
Yeah.
But as far as being the best player in baseball, there was a pitcher back in the late 90s. Sure, you remember Randy Johnson.
I've heard of him.
You can pull up Randy Johnson's stats prior to what he did in the 2001 playoff run they had. The guy was 0-8 with a crazy ERA, nothing like what he did in the regular season. And, you know, the end of his career, he highlighted it with his 2001 run, unfortunately for us. Mm-hmm. But and the other thing I'd like to touch on is a caller during the week called and made fun of somebody because they said they'd rather have Derek Jeter up than Aaron Judge in a big spot in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a baseball player in the world, in my lifetime, in any era, I'd rather have up in a big spot in a playoff game than Derek Jeter. But anyway, C-Mac, thank you for your time.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. I'm a 90s Yankee guy, so it's hard to say I'd want anybody up there besides Jeter. It depends on what you need. If you need a home run, although he let off, you know, game 4 of the World Series in 2000 with a home run and hit the home walk-off home run for Mr. November, and I still, you know, it depends on what you need. You need a base hit? Sure. He was able to do what he did. But again, the whole point is Judge, right? And you could talk about, yeah, Randy Johnson and his other guys. Barry Bonds had terrible playoff stats until 2002. We've seen it before, right? I was talking about Willie Mays. I was talking about Ted Williams. Now, Ted Williams played in one World Series and wasn't very good. Willie Mays, I think, played in 35 playoff games, 33 to 35 playoff games, and had a .248 batting average and an OPS under 700, which is worse than Judge's. It doesn't make you not great. Like, that's how I feel about it. Judge is still great. And moving forward, I would take him above any hitter in baseball, including Juan Soto or anybody else, in the biggest spot, because I don't believe there is some mental block that he can't do it. He hasn't the last two postseasons. He did prior to that. The last two postseasons have been atrocious to the highest level, where the strikeouts are almost every at bat. That's how bad it's been. I'm not denying that. It is what it is. And until he changes that, that's going to be part of the narrative. But moving forward, a big spot, like, who would I want a big spot? Tomorrow? The biggest of spots. The World Series is tomorrow. Bases loaded. Two outs. Down two runs. Who do I want up? I want Aaron Judge up because he's the best hitter. Plain and simple. Now, going through the playoffs, if I get to game 6 of the World Series and Judge is batting 0-91, then yes, I'd rather have somebody else. He's not going well at the moment. But just from this moment forward, projecting any sort of big moment from this moment on, this year's World Series, there's nobody I'd rather have than Aaron Judge. He's the best hitter I've ever seen, hit this side of Barry Bonds. That's how good he is. That's how good he is. Would I rather have, you know, David Eckstein came through with more big hits than Pujols did in the postseason for the Cardinals. Does that mean I'd rather have him up than Albert Pujols? No. I'd rather have Pujols up. Steve Pierce, people like to point this out that I bring it up as an example because it's a good one. Steve Pierce had better World Series numbers than Mookie Betts. Would I rather have Steve Pierce up in a big spot? Or would I rather have Mookie Betts? And Mookie Betts has been a terrible postseason player despite winning 3 championships. Look it up. Who would I rather have, him or Steve Pierce? Him or Bradley Jr., who had a good run in 18. In the moment, you can go based on how they're going. But just in general, moving forward this year, next year, World Series, biggest moment, I don't care. Who do I want up? I want up Aaron Judge because he's the best hitter. Nick in Staten Island. What's up, Nick?
Hey, love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm with you. I'm a longtime Islander fan from the Stanley Cup days, and I didn't want any part of that UBS yesterday.
All right, good. Maybe that's most Islander fans. And not that, you know, if you did want it, you can have it. I'm not going to get on you. But it's just I don't know why anybody would. I would want to avoid that as much as possible. I don't want record-breaking things done on my ice.
Yeah, my son follows the game a little more than I do these days, and mm-hmm. About a month ago, he saw this coming. Let's get tickets. Let's be at the game. I go, I don't want any part of that being at UBS, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. And there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people who, this is going to, and I'm sure the ticket, I didn't check before the game, but I'm sure the ticket on the secondary market was big to be there. Now, I don't know if Islander fans are necessarily buying the tickets, but I'm sure Islander fans were looking to maybe even sell the ticket on the secondary market and make money for their season tickets. But Yeah, I can just tell you I wouldn't be all that excited about it. Like if, I don't know, let's say Vladimir Guerrero Jr., because he's in the news now, is if you haven't heard, it broke around midnight. If you're just waking up to the news, let me break it to you. For you Met fans who felt like you had a very good chance of signing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year, not going to happen. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has signed a 14-year, $500 million extension with the Toronto Blue Jays. He will be a Blue Jay for the rest of his career. Stays in Toronto. They had to pay him a hell of a lot of money to keep him there. That's for sure. And I'm a little surprised by it because free agency has gotten so crazy that it's hard for me not to test the market. Like, honestly, when you're talking about, I guess it doesn't matter. If he's happy there, he takes the money. But you're going to get, even if you only get $400 million in free agency, say you test free agency and you only get $400. Okay, I'll live with the $400. What if I got $700? I don't think I would, but I don't know. I don't think I would sign anything until I talk to Steve Cohen or talk to the Dodgers or talk to the Yankees and try and get a bidding war going, because great players at his age make a hell of a lot of money. But still, $500 is that. 14 years, $500 million. How does it impact the Mets, who so many Met fans felt like he was a guarantee he would be a Met next year? With Pete Alonso probably opting out at the end of the season, I would say that it maybe makes it a little bit more likely that Pete Alonso could be a Met next year. I don't know how likely. I still think the Mets aren't keen on signing Pete Alonso long-term, which I think this offseason he will get legitimate long-term offers. He won't have picks attached to him, as you can't give a player a qualifying offer twice. I think he's going to be coming off a monster season. He's already off to a really good start with Juan Soto hitting in front of him. I would think my money would be on Pete Alonso playing out his last season as a New York Met. But the idea that there's no other great player behind him, I know there's the Japanese star, who plays first base, young, power-hitting, left-handed swinging bat. Maybe that could be a thought, or just younger, defensive. You know, we've seen first base kind of be devalued up until this contract. So we'll see what Pete happens. But again, this is a conversation for another day. The news broke, but I hate talking about next year's free agency 9 games into the season. But it was a story, as obviously they swept away the Blue Jays. There was a lot of, you know, Juan Soto talking with him. Him chatting it up with Mets. Oh, he wants to be a Met so bad. Oh, he's begging them to sign him. And he turns around and signs for $500 million to stay in Canada.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:50. McGonigal here with you on this Monday morning. Back with you again 2 a.m. tomorrow after the National Championship game will air here on WFAN, followed by Keith, and then myself at 2. We'll get more into some other things. Didn't have a chance. I want to get to your calls here, rapid-fire style, as we get to the end of the show. Wanted to talk a little bit more about Shedeur Sanders, the Pro Day, the Giants. Rich Cimini with a story about how the Jets want to handle the running back room and maybe the devaluing of Hall or less carries for Hall, and whether or not that could lead to a trade, or what the Jets could do at the 7th pick. Please do not draft a running back with the 7th pick. Please do not draft a running back with the 7th pick. Please. Please. Do not draft a running back with the 7th pick. Thank you very much. We'll have more time to do that tomorrow. The Yankee schedule is throwing the show into flux, so I'll have a Thursday morning 5-hour midnight ride. So we'll have a little bit more of me this week now that the Yankees are in afternoon all week. If you haven't heard, the schedule changed because of the frigid temperatures out in Detroit. The Yankees later today, 3 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kevin in Baldwin. What's up, Kev?
I'm on it quick. 3 men in hockey, in the history of hockey, have scored 50 goals 9 years in a row. Wayne, Alex, and Mike Bossy, the first one to do it. And he played just about 10 seasons last year, busted back. These gentlemen, no disrespects, but they played 20-plus. So I think he would, according to my calculations, were not correct. He would have added by 200 goals. Good night. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, sure. By your connections, I think you forgot to carry the one, but I'm not sure. Rich in Manhattan, what's up, Rich?
Yeah, as an Islander fan, it really doesn't bother me that he broke the record against the Islanders, because as an Islander fan, don't forget, the highest player for goals per game in a career is Mike Bossy.
Yes, as I just found out.
And number two is Mario Lemieux. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, both of them lost their careers to injury prematurely.
Right.
And Austin Matthews is number five, and he's active.
Yeah, no. There's some great talent right now. I don't know if – I don't know. It's such an amazing record, and Gretzky, to have the amount of assists and points he had on top of it, but
I don't think Gretzky's the greatest player ever anyway.
What?
It's Bobby Orr. It's Bobby Orr.
Oh, I know Bobby Orr is great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but
– change the game.
I mean, but Wayne Gretzky, man. I mean – just look at the number. And again, I didn't see either. Obviously, I didn't see Bobby Orr. Even Gretzky, I don't know if I really remember watching him in his prime, but I mean, in the mid-80s with the Oilers.
Bobby Orr put up forward numbers as a defense.
No, great player. I can't have that argument with you right now. I can't. I mean, Wayne Gretzky has more assists. Ovechkin just broke his goal record. Ovechkin has 895 goals, the most in NHL history. And Wayne Gretzky has more assists than he has points. That's crazy. Now, I know assists might have been different back then. They give you, I've heard this argument that you could be the fifth person to touch the puck and they give you an assist or whatever. I can't speak to that. I can tell you that he's got more assists than Ovechkin has points. And he's the greatest goal scorer in the history of the league. Crazy. John in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
It's the midnight ride's almost over.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a midnight ride. It was a 2 a.m. ride, but that's okay. We'll find one.
All right, sorry. I'll pay attention next time.
Would you, John?
Yeah. I have the solution for Brett Beatty.
Okay.
Move him up. Give him one more shot. Bat him fourth with either Marte or Winker behind him. If he doesn't hit, get rid of him.
How many days of that, though? How many games? How many at-bats?
One week.
You give him another week. All right, so you give him until, like, McNeil comes back, because I don't know. McNeil's not going to be too much longer than that. I'm okay with that. I just think we're getting to the point where the offense is – if the offense was going, right? Like, right, I had a bunch of calls about Dominguez and Grisham, and the Yankees offense right now is cooking. So it's not a big deal. Peraza at third, need another right-handed bat. Absolutely, I totally agree. But it's not a pressing issue at the moment because the Yankees are averaging 9 runs a game heading into the, just like the Mets with the pitching right now. Oh, you know, they should, if one of the relievers were struggling, you'd be like, oh, it's a major problem. Well, kind of. They have the best pitching ERA in all of baseball. So like right now, Beatty doesn't have that ability to hide in an offense that's really going well. Even Soto at the moment, he's not doing poorly or terribly, but he's not impacting the baseball. He's got only the one home run, which, again, it's early on to say only, but still, one home run, hasn't really come through with the big hit, hasn't driven in a lot of runs. He's getting on base, but he's not really Juan Soto just yet. Lindor is starting to come around, but he's still April, March Lindor at the moment. Vientos is a complete mess, so Beatty isn't able to hide with the Mets scoring a lot of runs. Now, they've won games. They're 6-3, and they've won 4 in a row, but they've done it with their pitching, and the offense continues. If it wasn't for, you know, the 2 home runs from Alonso, or specifically the 8th inning one against the Marlins, and then the Winker triple the other night to tie the game, like, we may be having even more of a strong statement on Beatty. But if he's not going to hit, Acuña's better defensively, and Acuña can run, and Acuña has given you better at-bats. So I was a big proponent of letting Beatty play. I wanted to give Beatty this run. I wanted to see what he could do with it. It's still only been 9 games, but I was kind of counting on the hot streak continuing from spring, and now he's ice cold. And he's having terrible at-bats, and he's swinging through high fastballs, and he just looks like he looked in every other plate appearance he has as a major league player, which is not ready or not capable. And I don't know how much longer you can go with it. And then if you end it, I mean, doesn't that feel like the end? That's the only question I would have. Barring injury, and no one's rooting for it, but barring injury, would you ever see Beatty again? Like, why would you ever, like, this is it. This is his last chance. So I'm with you. It's 9 games in. They're 6-3. They're winning. They're pitching their ass off. I'll give him another week. I don't mind it. I'll give him until McNeil comes back. As long as they're winning. But if he doesn't hit by then, I don't know what else to do. I think the Beatty thing just comes to an end. And again, unlike Vientos, you could send him down, bring him back, send him down, bring him back. They've done that enough with Beatty where what else does he need to prove? Because again, he's going to go down to the minor leagues and he's going to hit home runs. The plane won't land and we will have a story about how Beatty hit a home run in minor leagues. Like that's how good he is in the minors. It just hasn't come to fruition at the major league level other than spring training. Rex in Massapequa. What's up, Rex?
Hey, C-Mac. Let me cram this in. I was like you. As an Islander fan, I did not want to see Ovechkin break the record at the Islanders. I didn't. I was even tweeting, make him wait, like W8. No, don't have it. Don't let him score. If Sorokin, don't want it.
Right.
I'll tell you what flipped me, though.
Good. You keep going. You got 10 seconds.
I'll tell you what flipped me was Gretzky. When Gretzky started paying homage to the Islanders and he's doing it on their logo and he's like, they're great, I'm great, you're great, this is all greatness, it kind of flipped me because you want your logo involved with greatness. Why somebody else? Why not you?
I guess that's an okay point. I don't agree that I want my team associated with anybody else's greatness. I want my team associated with my greatness. I don't need anybody else being great against my team. Remember, maybe it's just because we're Knick fans, and the idea that the Knick fan would see greatness at the Garden and then talk about how great the Garden is while they're getting their ass kicked. But the Islanders won the game. So, all right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow, too. Thanks to Ryan. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. The warm-up show is next. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Wake up with Boomer and Geo, mornings 6 to 10 on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
WFAN Sports Flash.
Good morning at 5 o'clock. I'm Peter Schwartz. A big night for the Knicks at the Garden.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.